We're going to continue on demonstrating God's power, and tonight we're going to look at instruction in righteousness, the greatness and the perfection and the accuracy, the integrity and the beauty of God's word should thrill all of us that believe it. The greatest of God's work or works is his word. So let's go to Psalm 138. You probably all know this verse, but it's a great verse. Tells us something very important. And in verse 2, it says, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. So God set his word above his name. He underwrote it. He underscored it. He's the author. You know, when you read a book, you know, you see the title on the front and it's the title. And then underneath is the author's name, right? He's the author. The word of God teaches us everything about life. It teaches us how to believe. It teaches us what to believe. It is our greatest resource for living a victorious life. What it says in Peter that all things... a knowledge of his word gives us an understanding of all things that pertain to life and godliness. That's not a very exact quotation, but you can look it up. It teaches us how to believe correctly, and it tells us when we go wrong, and it shows how to get back on the right track. And how vital and important is that? I don't know really a whole lot about other religions. But I don't know that they all have doctrine, reproof, and correction.
No.
I know they have a lot of reproof.
Yes.
But I don't know about doctrine, reproof, and correction. So let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. This is a verse we've all heard many times, and probably blessed our life many times as we thought about it, as we've lived our lives, as we've studied the word. And it says in verse 16, chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, or is God breathed, right? I think this is where probably most of us heard or learned about figures of speech. But it's all scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All three of these are for instruction in righteousness. The doctrine, the reproof, the correction. So if you're missing one of them in any way, shape, or form, you don't have the complete instruction in righteousness, do you? Or right living. As we've been taught, instruction in right living. That would be living according to God's standard. That's what being able to live righteously or instruction in righteousness or right living would be. It would be that we believe God's word and we live according to God's standard. And then the purpose is given to us in verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. And we know these words that equipped or perfect and furnished, they mean equipped or fully prepared or whatever. So we are prepared fully. We're fully equipped for every good work. Not some or not one particular work, but for every good work. Think about that. God has prepared us, he's equipped us, he's furnished us with all we need to carry out every good work. That's pretty great when you think about it. Let's go to 1 John. You know, Jim, you told me to hit that button and I didn't. So... yeah, well, I forgot which one it was.
Don't worry about it. It's good. No problem.
Okay. First John chapter 5 and verse verse 3. It says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." So if we love God, we love his word. You know, and there's the written word, and there's the spoken word, and then there's the word incarnate. Jesus Christ is referred to as the living word. We love God's word, every facet of it, every way it comes to us. We love his word. If we love God, we love his word. And people, you know, they could say they love God, but if they don't love his word, then they're not telling the truth, are they? So we accept what the word says. You know, we receive it, we accept it, and we want to do and carry out what the word says. And because we want to do what? We want to live rightly or justly. But because we're humans, we don't always do what we're supposed to do. What a terrible thing to find out. There are some people that think they're perfect, but they don't know the word, apparently. But we're humans, we're imperfect at best, and on occasion we need reproof and correction. Now, doctrine is what? It is instruction in how to believe rightly, or how to believe and you know, God's word. Reproof is tells us when we're not doing what we're supposed to do, or not carrying out the instruction or the doctrine properly. And then correction is how we get back to doing what we're supposed to do. So there's a lot of hows in there, right? How to believe rightly, what you're doing when you're wrong, and how to get back to right believing. Proverbs 25. Proverbs 25. What a great thing to know and understand. Verse 12 of Proverbs 25, it says, "As an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear." That's pretty cool, isn't it? A wise reprover upon an obedient ear, meaning, you know, when you give reproof wisely, or if it's given wisely according to God's word, and the person wants to be right or do what's right, they will be obedient to the reproof. You know, and it's like it's likened to fine gold. How great is that? An earring of gold, or an ornament of fine gold. That's a pretty great thing. If you want to truly walk with God, and we want to do our best for him, we have to be able to, number one, receive reproof. And number two, if we're going to give reproof, we have to be wise in giving that reproof. And that would be that it's from the word. The word of God is the only way we can reprove. It's the word of God that reproves when we're off, when we're not following the doctrine, the instruction, and believing rightly. If we are humble to receive reproof, it is a benefit to us. Mm-hmm. It will help us. If we don't, then it'll be a problem. But if we believe it, it'll be a benefit. It'll be a benefit to us. It'll be a benefit to the church. It'll be a benefit to God. That's a pretty cool thing to think about. You know, it's like, oh man, I made a mistake. I'm rotten. No, you receive the reproof, and that will benefit you, it will benefit the church, and it'll benefit God. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. My wife spoke about this today, so she's going to be really thrilled. The second one. But chapter 4, verse 28. Verse 28 and verse 29 both give reproof and correction. So it says in verse 28, "Let him that stole steal no more." So that's the reproof, right? Mm-hmm. You know, if you're stealing, don't steal. Now, we think of stealing maybe as bank robbery or stealing cars or shoplifting or, but it can be anything that you take that's not yours, right? A lot of times people in work will take things that they think is a perk. It's work and they have all these staplers, so I can take one home because I need one. And then you take staples periodically because you need them, or rubber bands, and you think, well, it doesn't hurt anybody. They got plenty, and they have plenty of money. But it does. It's stealing. It's not honest, is it? That's the standard of God's word. Now, if you ask and you say to the boss, "Hey, could I take some rubber bands? I need some rubber bands," he says, "Yes, great." Right? So it says, "Let him that stole steal no more." But rather, and here's the correction, rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. So, and then we get a little instruction here. The reason to work is so that you have, so that you can give. That's kind of doctrine, isn't it? Yeah, so you can give. Pretty great. And then verse 29. Which, by the way, the verse in Acts where it says it is more blessed to give than to receive, you know that verse? It's Acts 26:35, I believe. Anyway, it talks about Jesus Christ, and he says, and he said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And the word blessed is happy. It's happier to give than to receive. Now the world takes that and they bastardize it and they say, well, it's better to give than to receive. It doesn't say that, does it? It doesn't say it's better. It says you're happier when you give. Not better. Anyway, verse 29, it says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. That's the reproof. We're not to have corrupt communication proceed out of our mouth. And that's a great thing to know. I'll confess that, sometimes the New York in me wells up and I say something sarcastic or stupid. And then my wife slaps me. But I mean, there's some people I know that never say anything bad, and that's very admirable. Just got to work at it sometimes because we live in a world where everything is cutting and sarcastic and critical and everything else. So that's what it says. It says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. Whatever you say is supposed to edify, to build up the believers, to build up the people you're with. And then it goes on to say, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Minister's grace, favor. What a great thing. What a great thing to do. If we could really work on doing that whenever we talk to people, what a great witness, It will certainly set us apart from everybody else. Amazing. Let's go to Matthew chapter 18. So in those verses, there's reproof and correction. In Matthew chapter 18, Jesus Christ defines reproof. Verse 15. It says, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. Okay. Well, it's defining reproof. What is the definition? Well, when it says tell him his fault, is the Greek word elencho or elenko, ELNCHO. And it means reproof. It's translated reproof. It goes on to say, if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. So there's further instruction on how to give the proof. You know, if you give it, you take a person, you take them aside, you don't embarrass them, and you tell them the truth of God's word, you know, if they're stealing, you say, it says you're not supposed to steal, you're supposed to work. Or if they're being sarcastic and mean with their mouth, you say, you're not supposed to let corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Or if they're, covetous of things, or they're jealous or anything, you know, we can lovingly bring people back to the word and tell them. And he says, do it alone, do it in private, let them know. But then he says, but if they don't receive it, then take two or three witnesses with you. You know, strengthen numbers. You know, maybe they'll believe. If they don't believe one person, maybe they'll believe two or three people. He goes on to say, and if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. In other words, okay, well, you've done what you can, so just say, see you later, alligator. So that's the way it is. When someone is off the truth of God's word, it is the responsibility of another believer to reprove. But the goal of reproof is to bring that person back to right believing. That's the goal of reproof. It's not to make them feel bad. You know, it's not to destroy their life. It's not to beat them up. It's to bring them back to right believing. Now, obviously, some reproofs can be mild and some have to be more stern and some have to be, you know, right in your face, depending on what it is and what the situation is. And that's really a lot to do with the walk with God. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians chapter 1. And verse 23. Moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul that to spare you, I came not as yet unto Corinth. And obviously, this is Paul writing to the people at Corinth, and Corinth was a reproof epistle, right? The doctrine was given in Romans, and then Corinth is an epistle about reproof, reproving them that they were not adhering to the doctrine that is put down in Romans. So he says, moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul that to spare you, I came not as yet unto Corinth. Not for that we have dominion over your faith or believing, but are helpers of your joy, for by believing you stand. See, he was saying, you know, we just want to help you. We want to help you stand. The working translation of verse 24 is, and that we are not lords over your believing, but rather we are helpers of your joy, for you stand in the right way of believing. You know, that's what Paul was trying to do here. He was trying to get them back to the right way of believing. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. Chapter 12, verse 11, it says, now no chastening. Chastening is what? It's kind of like reproof, you know, it's, you know, you're being told, you're being disciplined. You're saying you were wrong. You didn't do what you were supposed to do. Now chastening for the present seemeth, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. And I think we probably all understand that. Mm-hmm. You know, when you get reproved, it's not, oh, thank you, that was so much fun. Yeah. Oh, man, I'm so glad I got reproved and embarrassed in front of everybody that I'm an idiot. No, I mean, that's just not the way it is. You know, when you find out you're wrong, if you really have a heart to serve God and you love God and you love his word, you kind of feel bad, don't you? It's grievous. You know, it's like, it makes you sad. Man, I let God down. I let the believers down. I let myself down. It's kind of the way it is. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wow, that's cool. If you receive it with meekness and humility, the end result is the peaceable fruit of righteousness. How great is that? The peaceable fruit of righteousness. Let's go to 3 John 4. Third John 4. And here John is just speaking to this Gaius. And he says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. You know, and that's when we're walking for God and we're believing God, you know, our joy is that other people are walking in truth, right? That's what we want them to do. We want them to come back to believing rightly. And there's no greater joy than when somebody's not getting it, that you help them and they walk in the truth. What a great joy that is. How wonderful that is. That's a reward in itself. You know, just you're blessed that you could help somebody like that. Reproof is not our opinion or feelings. I struggle sometimes because, you know, a few times people have said, well, you know, that you're getting really personal now. And I don't really understand that, because your life is your person. That's you. And so if you're not doing what's right and the word reproves you, yeah, it is personal. Mm-hmm. You know, it can't be anything but personal, right? You're not attacking the person. We don't hate people. We hate sin, right? If somebody's off the word, we don't hate that person. We hate what they're doing, or if they're hurting other believers, you know, we want to get them back to believing rightly so they can be a benefit to the church, to themselves, and to God. Simple. Reproof is not feelings or opinions. It is strictly based on what God's word says. It has to be done with love, with the goal of repairing and restoring a person back to right believing. What it's all about. So you know that you have to have reproof, but then you also have to have the correction, and it has to be done according to the word, with the word, and it has to be done with love, and it has to be done with the hope of getting that person back to believing rightly, to correcting it. My wife was great with that with our kids. I remember, you know, when she reproved them, she always corrected them. And that's a good way to be. That's a great way to raise kids. Reproof must always be followed by correction. And the how, which is, you know, correction is the how of returning back to right believing. So it's the how. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor with his hands the thing that is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. You know, there, that's the road back. That's the how. That's the how of the reproof. That's the correction to get back to believing. We're supposed to work, aren't we? We're supposed to be able to work for God, and we're supposed to work with our hands, and we're not supposed to be a burden to other people. And if something happens where somebody needs help, we can give it to them. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 11. It says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. You know, the word fellowship is that great word koinonia, or a form of that word koinonia. It's translated communion. It's translated, I don't know, different things, distribute. But it means to share fully. That's one of the meanings anyway. But we're not to share fully or have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. We just saw before that if you receive reproof properly, you will produce the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Here it says we're not to have any fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. It's kind of the opposite, isn't it? But rather, reprove them. Reprove them. Now, to know that something is a work of darkness, you have to know the word. If you don't know the word, you probably will miss a work of darkness, because sometimes it is extremely subtle. The snake in the garden, he was subtle. And the works of darkness are subtle. Many times the darkest and worst things are the most subtle, the most difficult to see. They are. Because everybody misses it. You go, oh, isn't that wonderful? And it's not wonderful at all. And then it goes on to say, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. You know, the light of God's word will make evil manifest. You know, we as believers sometimes, you know, we see all the stuff going on in the world and we think, man, people are nuts. Don't they see it? No, they don't. They don't see it. My wife was telling me today about, I forget where you saw that, but about this transgender couple. The guy became a woman and the woman became a guy. And they think it's wonderful. We think it's reprobate. It's reprobate. It's just the devil has got control of these people. And, you know, outwardly to a lot of people in the world, it's like, well, I'm so glad they're happy. But there's going to be a price to be paid. But the light will make the darkness manifest. It's that simple. And so, you know, sometimes we see things that other people don't see. We see things that the world don't see. And we see things sometimes that other Christians don't see if they don't study the word and understand the word. So let's go to Romans. Chapter 13. You know, that's a good thing to remember, because you can get awful discouraged sometimes. And we just keep in mind that God is our Father. He's still on the throne. He takes care of us. And the things of the world, the best thing we can do is teach people the truth. That's the best thing we can do. That's what will change the world, nothing else. Chapter 13 of Romans, verse 3. For rulers, now this is an interesting section. The chapter 13 of Romans is a chapter that some commentators and stuff say it is about civil authorities. And so some translations have said, let's go back to verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the civil authorities. That's how they translate that. But if you read the context, it's not at all what it's talking about. Let every subject be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power of God, but the powers that be ordained of God. Well, does God ordain policemen or presidents or senators or, you know, see, if you carry this out logically, it's stupidity. Because just because somebody has a position doesn't mean they were ordained of God. I mean, was Hitler ordained of God? He was a power. He certainly was a power. or Stalin or Mussolini or Mao Zedong. These guys killed millions of people, but people were to be obedient to them because they were higher powers. See, that's not God's word at all. So then it goes on to say, so it's talking about ministers in the body of Christ. It says, whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. We're going to read another verse later on, but, you know, how ministers are to conduct themselves. They're not to be dictators or villains or dictators, whatever. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. You know, a minister, a true minister of God, is not a terror to good works. If you're doing what you're supposed to do, you're not going to get reproved. You know? Now, if you're doing something stupid, or you're hurting yourself or other believers, then maybe you should be afraid of the minister, because he's going to say something to you. But what's the purpose of him saying something? To get you back to believing rightly so you can be a benefit to yourself, to the church, and to God. Verse 4, for he is a minister of God to thee for good, for your benefit. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. The sword being the sword of the Spirit, his words. God doesn't tell his ministers to take a sword and chop heads off, which I think they did in the Middle Ages. But we don't live in the Middle Ages, and we have a better understanding of God's word. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon that him that doeth evil. Wrath means their righteous anger. It's you know, you're not out of control. You're not, you know, out of your mind mad, but it's righteous anger. Remember Jesus Christ went into the temple and the money changers were there, and he actually took a whip and chased them out because they were polluting the house of God. They were making money dishonestly, and so he got angry. He had righteous anger, but he didn't lose his mind. Proverbs. Let's go to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is a light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. You know, God's word is a lamp and a light. It shows us the path, the right way to go. How simple is that? And reproofs are a way of life because, again, we are imperfect people. We're imperfect. I don't care if you've been a minister for 50 years or you've been an apostle or a prophet or you're the newest believer. Throughout your life, you're going to make mistakes and you're going to need reproof. And, you know, reproof comes in all different ways. Sometimes you could be sitting in a teaching, and the teaching could be about, I don't know, love. And it's all doctrinal teaching, except you know you're not loving somebody or you've been unloving. So then that teaching may become reproof to you. You know, when you have a heart for God and a desire to do the truth of God's word and love him, every time you hear the word, when you hear something that you've done wrong, it's a reproof and you're glad to receive it. You may not get up and say, wow, man, that reproved me. I'm so happy. But you put it in your heart and you correct it. You know, you search out the correction, or if you know the correction, you correct it. If you don't know the correction, then you go back to the word and you search out that correction, right? I mean, that's what we're supposed to do. It is a way of life. Reproof is a way of life. Sometimes just when I'm reading the word, I'll read something, I'll go, oh man, how stupid am I? I shouldn't have been like that, or I did that and that was wrong. I mean, it's just the way it is, you know. When you want to do what's right, you're humble and meek to receive those things. In Proverbs 17. So a lot of these in Proverbs and Psalms. We're just going to look at a couple. Psalm 17, verse 10. Proverbs, sorry, what did I say? Psalm, Proverbs 17. Proverbs 17, verse 10. A reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. So, you know, if you're wise, you'll receive reproof. And what I'm saying, or what I'm, you know, in the context of the teaching, that reproof would be godly reproof. It would be according to God's word. But a fool, you could beat the hell out of them and they're not going to change and they're not going to receive any. They're going to go back and do the same stupid thing again. Right? That's, you may have known a few of those. We call them jackasses, fools, idiots. But there are people out there like that. Let's go back to chapter 10 of Proverbs. Verse 17. We did 17:10. Now we're going to do 10:17. Yes. He is the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth. So there again, you know, he that keeps the way of instruction, but he that refuses reproof errs. You know, if you don't listen to reproof, you're just going to keep making mistakes. You're going to keep making the same mistake. When I say to make a mistake once is, you know, human. But when you make it twice, then you're dumb. Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13, verse 8. 18, sorry. Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. Well, that's pretty nice. If you want honor, accept reproof. Let's go to 15, chapter 15, verse 5. A fool despiseth his father's instruction. But he that regardeth reproof is prudent. Prudent can be translated many different things, you know, means to be wise or to be careful, or can even mean to be crafty, but and in the sense of being skillful. Verse 10 says, correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die. That's pretty tough. But, you know, it's the word of God, right? That's what he's telling me. It's a warning. Proverbs was written to young men to instruct in how to live. Verse 12. A scorner loveth not one that reproveth him, neither will he go unto the wise. You know, if you're smart, if you're wise, if you desire to walk with God, then if you think you're wrong, you'll go ask for help. Or if you make a mistake, you'll go and ask for assistance. And you may have to receive some reproof and some correction. But that's okay. Verse 31. The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. Verse 32, he that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul. but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. You know, and we need to be humble. We need to be humble to receive God's word and to receive instruction. Because, you know, a person that comes to the word and doesn't believe the word, they don't receive the instruction, do they? They just say, oh, that's silly, or that's stupid, or there is no such thing, or this doesn't make sense. But once you believe the word, then you have to be able to be humble enough to receive correction, reproof and correction to grow. You know, without reproof and correction, we won't grow. And we all should want to grow. Let's go to Titus. Titus chapter 2. You know, it's not just in the Old Testament, it's just not in the New Testament. It's everywhere. Titus chapter 2, verse 15. It says, these things speak. Now, Titus was written by Paul to Titus. Titus was a minister, as was Timothy, and Paul was instructing him on how to be a minister, how to serve, what to do, what to teach. And here he says these things, speaking about the things he talked about before. He said, these things speak, exhort, and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. And the word rebuke is that word for reproof. Elencho or elenko. It's the word for reproof. People need encouragement. It says here he's to exhort them. That's encouragement, to build them up. And they need reproof, not just one or the other. You know? Yeah, we need encouragement. And after somebody's reproved and corrected, then they really need encouragement a lot of times. You know, okay, you made a mistake. This is what you need to do to correct it. And I know you can do it. And I'll help you. I'm here for you. Just do your best. You know, people need that encouragement after they are reproved and corrected. Let's go to Galatians. So many times, Galatians chapter 2, many times, as we saw Jesus Christ talk about in Matthew chapter 18, he said, you know, if your brother does something against you, you know, go to him privately and tell him. And if he hears your reproof, then you know, everything will be great. You'll have your brother. But if he doesn't, then take two or three witnesses. And then if he doesn't, go before the church. Well, there are times when the best way to reprove somebody is in private, you know, not out in front of everybody. But then there are other times when it has to be done publicly. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 14, this is Paul and Peter. And says, but when I, and this is Paul speaking or writing, he says, but when I saw that they walked, they meaning more than just Peter, but Peter and his entourage, but when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, the gospel being the gospel of God concerning Jesus Christ. I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of Gentiles and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? And what was happening here in Galatia is they were mostly a Greek church, you know, a Gentile church. And Peter came in and these other Jews and Peter was, you know, having a good time and eating with the Gentiles. And then these Jews came in and they said, oh, you can't eat with the Gentiles. That's defiling yourself. So then Paul gets in Peter's face and he said, why would you who being a Jew and were free from the law, now why you want these guys to be under the law? Verse 15, we who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith or believing concerning Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by believing of Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So here Paul is confronting Peter and these other guys, and he's doing it right in his face publicly. And it was a pretty stern, you know, and there's correction in there. He says, you know, we've been justified by believing. We don't need to do the works of the law. So cut it out. What the heck? You know, there was a time in Acts, I think it's 20 or 19, where Aquila and Priscilla got Paulus and brought him aside because he was teaching something he didn't know enough, but he had enthusiasm, and he was teaching, I guess, baptism or whatever, I forget what it was. Yeah, baptism. And so they took him aside privately, had him over, and took him back to their house after he had given this great oration, and they instructed him more perfectly in the way of God. And then Apollos went on to do some great stuff and was a great believer. Let's go to Titus again. So reproof is important, but the source of reproof has to be the word of God. That is our standard. You know, it's not, well, I just don't like the way he dresses, or I don't like what he's doing. There was a verse, hold your place there for a second. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I remember this. I've got to find it. Okay. Chapter 5, verse 22. Abstain from all appearance of evil. So I remember some people teaching this, and they say, well, you can't do this and you can't do that because that is an appearance of evil. And so I got somebody aside, and I said, that's not right. See, because verses are void of authority, aren't they? So if you read verse 21, abstain from all appearance of evil. Verse 21, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. And what it's really talking about, and you can see it in other translations maybe, but you hold fast to that which is good. And what appears evil to you, what's not good and profitable for you, abstain. You know, it goes back to, what does it say in Romans 14? It says, you know, one man eats, another man abstains from meat. You know, don't put a stumbling block in any man, because all things are good. Under the pure, all things are pure. You know, and it's about believing. If you believe you can eat the meat, you can eat the meat. So, anyway, Titus, chapter 1, verse 9. It says, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Ooh. Convince is the word reprove. By sound doctrine. By sound doctrine. Paul again is telling Titus, hold fast to the faithful word as you've been taught, that you may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort, again, exhortation, encouragement, and convince, reprove the gainsayers. And the word gainsayers means those who contradict. That's what it means. Those who contradict the word of God. Those that go against the word of God. Then it goes on and it says, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. Unruly is rebellious. There are many rebellious and people that discuss nonsense. That's what vain talkers are. And deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. Those Jews that are coming in and they're trying to say, you know, you need to stay with the law and so on and so forth. Whose mouths must be stopped, to subvert whole houses, teaching things that they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said the Cretans are Always liars, evil beasts, and slow bellies. This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them, reprove them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith or in the right way of believing. Reproving is to be done with wisdom, and the word of God is to be the source and the standard. The goal of all doctrine is right believing. Right teaching to bring about right believing. Reproof, warning when not believing rightly, and correction, the how of getting back to right believing, so that we might live rightly a peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Amen. So that's instruction in righteousness, or how to live rightly. Amen and amen. It's a great thing to understand. Because it's not an easy thing even to give sometimes a reproof. You know, I get nervous. You know, I get nervous sometimes when I have to reprove somebody. Because it's not a fun thing to do. Sometimes, you know, you have to, and it's like, I have to take care of this. But then other times, you know, people are fragile, and you want to do it the right way with wisdom and with love, and you want to do it with the word of God. So it's a very important thing. But remember, the goal is to repair people and to restore them back so that they can be a benefit to themselves, that they can be a benefit to the church and to God, and that they can have the peaceable fruit of righteousness. What a great thing to have. So God, we thank you for this night. We thank you for loving us, for blessing us, for keeping us safe. And we thank you, God, that we can just hold these words in our heart, and that they're truly great words and great things to learn and understand. We thank you, God, that we can bless people, and that we can help people to stand upon your word, help each other, because we all need it. And we thank you in the wonderful and powerful name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.